everyone. This is Steve Donahue with another episode of Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. Today's episode is number 49, and what this is an interview with a friend of mine, Doug Pruitt. Doug Pruitt has recently started a family business in the fine-crafted furniture realm, and I interviewed him about why he got started and what he is doing to train his children in that. Should be a good interview. And want to give just kind of an introduction of who he is for a moment, and then we'll take care of the rest of the introduction, and then you'll be able to hear this interview that I had with him. The business in which he works is called Pruitt & Sons Fine Furniture, and is a business that deals with handcrafted farm-style dining tables, benches, coffee tables, and more. And Doug spent 17 years as an aerospace engineer. So, yes, you are going to listen to a true and blue rocket scientist here on the Legacy Podcast. He did that for 17 years at Cape Canaveral, working in the design and testing of long-range nuclear missiles. And in 1996, he went into full-time Christian work as a missionary, then a pastor. And now he's the Assistant Vice President of Information Technology for Good News Jail and Prison Ministry. He has maintained his interest in engineering and his work in Christian service. And in his own words, he says, "My sons and I were taught the building of carpentry trades by a master carpenter for over 5 years. One of my first lessons was that building and most other things do not require aerospace tolerance. Once I quit using a micrometer on everything, I began to build some nice things in a reasonable amount of time." And he does do great quality work, as you might imagine, with his background. And so we are going to listen now to a conversation I had with him about his new business. But before we do that, I want to direct you to some of the introductory information. Make sure that you're following us on Twitter and YouTube and Facebook, all the social media, and getting the word out to your friends and family about that. Make sure that you're registered as a user on the website that gives you access to all the email updates and everything. You can do that on the right column of the website where it says register. And then finally, consider becoming a Legacy Partner. $30 a year or $3 a month helps support the show at less than 25 cents an episode. Gives you access to our premium pages, which has over $50 worth of value. So please consider doing that if you'd like the show. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and let us listen to the interview that I had with Doug Pruitt.
Okay, I've got a good friend of mine, Doug Pruitt, with me, and I've got Doug on the line because I wanted to be able to interview him about a family business that he's recently started. And one of the things that we emphasize here at the Legacy Podcast, as you know, is that we want to encourage families to start businesses so that they can work with their kids and work together as a family, building something that can last for generations. And so Doug is a model of that, and I wanted to have him on here. Doug and I go back a while, and I'm going to have him introduce himself. Doug, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Doug, great. Well, why don't you first just by tell us a little about yourself, who you are, what you currently do, and that kind of thing.
Well, I'm a 55-year-old man living in Sandy Hook, Virginia. I currently work with an international mission organization called Good News Jail and Prison Ministry, and serve as their Assistant Vice President of Information Technology. So I handle all the technical aspects of the ministry. And we have seven children here, and six of them living here with us in Sandy Hook. And we are a Christian family and try to make sure that all the things that we do, in some way we can see that it serves the purposes of God.
Oh, that's great. So you recently, I guess maybe within the last year or so, have started your furniture business. You want to tell everybody a little bit about your furniture business and that kind of thing?
Well, we have various names that I've used for it on Facebook and on our website. Pruitt & Sons Fine Farm Furniture, Goochland Fine Farm Furniture. And what we do is we make furniture that is farm style, shaker style, you know, old-fashioned kitchen furniture, so dining tables and benches, the kind that you might see on the Waltons or Little House on the Prairie. And we've just noticed that there is a demand for that that's kind of in style these days, the simplicity and the utility of those things. And in addition to that being our primary product, we also make custom furniture to order for our customers. And so we had a lady that contacted us and wanted us to make a custom sewing table for her 1939 Singer Featherweight sewing machine. And we did that, and have another customer that wants us to make a top for her 160-year-old drafting table. And so we do a lot of different things, but our main product is the farm furniture.
Okay, great. So you do custom work for clients that request it. Now, how do you come about learning what to do? I mean, obviously you've got some engineering background, because I know you, and you do really well with whatever work you put your mind to. But how did you learn how to do furniture building?
Well, first of all, the motivation behind it was, for years, my wife hated our dining room table and dining room set. It just didn't fit. And it was kind of cheap and cheesy, and I just kept putting, you know, instead of wanting to buy one, I kept saying, I'm going to make you a nice old-fashioned farm table. And that went on probably for 5 years, and me putting it off. And finally, one day, I just realized, you know, I can't say I'm going to do it any longer if I just need to do it. And so I went looking for some plans to make one. And I got online and started searching, and most of the plans were, you know, you pay for a book of plans or pay for a CD or DVD that's got all sorts of stuff on it, including plans for a table. And then I found some free plans, which really appealed to me. And that's kind of an interesting story, because I looked at the plans. They were online, all the pictures, all the steps. And I said, I can do that. Those are simple enough, and the equipment that's called for, I have, or I can get very inexpensively. And what was it also made me interested in those particular plans is they were offered by a woman that calls herself the Tool Girl. And she was one of the actors on the Anne of Green Gables series of movies, and now she does a gig on TV up in Canada called Tool Girl. And she provided all kinds of free plans for all sorts of stuff. But this particular set of plans was for a farm-style table, how to build it, how to antique it, et cetera. And I just said, man, I can do this. And the benches that she had plans for, benches as well, I said, I can do those. And so I want to give thanks to the lady by the name of Mag Ruffman who provided those. And then I said, after I made the table for us, and my wife was really pleased with it, I said, you know, that wasn't that hard, and it really came out well and sturdy, and I can do this, and I enjoy doing it, and the boys were working with me and enjoying doing it as well. And I said, you know, we've been searching for a long time for something that we could do, enjoy doing, and make some extra money for the family and work together as a family. And this just fit the bill perfectly. You know, there's a lot of, we thought, well, we're going to mow lawns. We tried that route. Nobody wanted to hire us. And, of course, that's an unskilled labor there. So finally we landed on something that is, you know, skilled labor, and actually, you know, it's got a better profit potential to it than mowing yards or that sort of thing. And I said, well, we can do it. So I advertised on Craigslist, and right away got a customer within a day of advertising on Craigslist, and built our first custom table and benches, and they were pleased with that. And soon thereafter, we had another customer, and then another customer. And so we just felt like, and we've been praying for God to show us something that we could use to supplement the family finances and provide an opportunity for the whole family to work together. So we saw this as an answer to prayer.
Oh, that's a great story, Doug, how that came about. So it really was almost kind of a merging of a lot of different factors, the factor of needing a new table yourself, the factor of wanting to start a business with the kids, and, you know, wanting to be able to, you know, build something craft-wise and, you know, use some of those skills and teach the skills to the kids. One of the great things about a furniture business like what you're doing is that it is a craft. And so it's not like a, you know, just a labor job that you're teaching your kids how to do, but it's actually a craft that, you know, they can take with them and use those skills, which kind of brings up the next question. And that is, why is it that you wanted to start a family business to begin with? You tried a couple of things.
Why did I want to start a family business?
Yeah.
Well, I've got a big family, 6 children, and rather than me running off somewhere and doing one thing and my kids running off and working at McDonald's or Burger King and, us seeing each other before we go to bed each night, I just thought it would really be great to be able to work together, not have to drive anywhere, have the opportunity to listen to our Christian praise music, talk about biblical principles, learn how to work in a biblical way and how to resolve tension and stress and conflicts as we work together. And so it's just the best of all worlds. And of course, you look back in history and for a long time in America, families did have family businesses and children were healthier and more obedient and more respectful to their parents and got in less trouble that way. So there are just a lot of reasons, good reasons, to say, hey, let's give this a try. But of course, the biblical model is discipleship, working side by side and talking about the Lord and his principles while you're working and while you're relaxing and all of those things. So it just provides that opportunity to do that.
Yeah, that's great. One of the great things I have found about working with your kids is that, it brings real unity to the home. You can have some family activities that you do together, but usually it doesn't bring the family together as everybody kind of working towards the same goal. If it's, producing a bench or producing a table or, whatever it is, everybody kind of working towards the same goal, it brings real unity. And then what you mentioned, being able to disciple the kids while you work and, teach them skills while you're teaching them biblical principles of discipline and hard work and doing the right job, a good quality job, and helping the client, all those kinds of things. Those are great, great ways. And it's a good thing you're able to do that.
Another thing, too, you talk about me working with my boys, but this is a kind of business where your daughters can be involved. I mean, the girls have said,
right,
what could we do, Dad? And right now I've said, okay, after each job, the garage is just full of sawdust and all the machines need to be cleaned off. So I'll pay you a little to clean up the garage before the next job starts. But that doesn't mean that's all the girls get to do. If the girls wanted to put their hand in some craftsmanship and start cutting out pieces and parts for the furniture, I mean, there's nothing preventing them from doing that. So this is the kind of thing where all of your children could get involved. The other thing is, it's not just something that I picked out of the air and then said, hey, you guys, come on, I want you to come up to speed and get involved with this thing that I found. But for years before I started doing this woodwork, the boys were working in the shop because I had the equipment, I just wasn't using it much. The boys were working in the shop crafting knives and swords and bows and arrows and guns and all sorts of things. They were cutting out of wood and sanding and designing. And so they already had a desire and an enjoyment of working with wood. So I saw that once I started enjoying it as well, that, hey, I'm not asking them to enjoy what I enjoy. I'm actually asking them to do more of what they've already shown that the Lord has given them an aptitude for.
Yeah, that's great. I remember listening to a seminar one time by, of course, one of my son's heroes, Joel Salatin, talking about working with your kids and starting a family business and this kind of thing. And one of the things he said is that one of the most important things you can do is take inventory of your family and what their talents and what their interests are, what their gifting is, that kind of thing, and kind of work the business around that. It sounds exactly what you've done, which is, that's great. So I've got another question for you. I know you work full-time at the prison ministry that you do. How do you manage that with managing also being able to, work with the kids and disciple the family and all the other responsibilities that you have?
Well, I'm uniquely blessed for 17 years I worked as an aerospace engineer, and I didn't have any time but, nighttime, because I had to show up at 7:30 in the morning and stay until 4:30, and that was it. There was no flexibility. But with this present ministry position I have, I'm very blessed to be able to do a good portion of my work from home. I have an office set up here, and I'm able to manage all the resources in our headquarters in Richmond from here out in Goochland, about 30 miles away. And so my supervisor knows what I'm wanting to do with this family business, and he knows that the work that I do for them is a 24-hour-a-day job. And I find myself working at 11 o'clock at night, sometimes in the middle of the night, doing things that I need to do for the Good News Jail and Prison Ministry. And so they realize that I'm like a fireman on duty for them. And so during the day, if things are slow and I don't have any immediate things to do with Good News, I can pop out to the workshop and do my work out there. And they're happy with that arrangement. And so I get out there at 7 in the morning, work until 9 or 10, come in and do work for Good News, and then pop back out about 4 in the afternoon and take the boys, because now they're done with school, and we work for another 4 or 5 hours and then call it a night. And so, I'm able to find the time and not be totally exhausted.
That's great. Now, I know that there's several people that are listening to this probably who are thinking to themselves, I would love to be able to start a business and, work with my family and that kind of thing. I just don't know if I can find time to do it. So basically what you've done is you have figured out how to work it into your life. And
yeah.
Would you agree that's pretty much what most people have to do when it comes to starting a side business, is just kind of figure out how to work it in?
How to work it in. Now, they may not be as blessed as I to have the flexibility with their job. Most people have to be at an office or at a location for a set time during the day. But if it's at all possible for them, they need to start thinking about ways that they could present to their supervisor a more flexible schedule that still provides the services to their employer, but provides them the ability to do some work, not at midnight, working on their side job. So, but even if they can't start until 5 o'clock, it's just like farmers that get up at 4 in the morning and go out and milk their cows and then come in, have breakfast, and then go work the fields for the bulk of the day, and then toward the end of the day they have other chores. And so it is extra work, but if you want to get the benefits of working with your family and seeing your children work alongside you before they leave the house and you never see them again, there may be some sacrifices you have to make with regards to time.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And there's great value in being able to, even if you're tired and you come home from a regular work, you get home at 6, eat some dinner or whatever, what would you normally do? Maybe you go outside and play soccer or something, hit the ball a few times with your boys or whatever, or, read a book or two. Why not start a business with the kids? Teach them, business principles and skills and crafts and those kinds of things that will serve them, for purposes later, which kind of brings up the next question I have for you, and that is, but what do you hope to achieve from this? I mean, other than, some supplemental income and being able to provide, some time with the kids, I mean, do you anticipate this being a business where your kids can take it over and take it from where you are and move it to another level and kind of pass on a multi-generational business, or is this just something you're planning on doing while the kids are in the home, or what?
Well, Steve, at a minimum, it provides time with the children that will be quality time, discipleship time that you may not have after they turn 18 and start making their own decisions as far as where they want to live and where they want to work. But if they come to see the benefit of working for themselves or working for their dad, and say, hey, why would I want to go to a factory or to a business somewhere and work for someone else when, I can work for myself or work for the family? They'll see the benefits in that. And then, yes, there's the potential for a long-term business and something that I can hand over to them. So, but I'll be honest with you, I just kind of take it a day at a time. I see the immediate benefits. I know that no matter whether the time is short or the time is long, there are going to be benefits that we see that we wouldn't have seen otherwise. And if the Lord is pleased to prosper this to where we say, hey, this is something that we could expand and improve, and we'll always have our eyes and ears open to that. So it's not just, you know, we don't just see to the end of our nose, but yet we don't try to plan too far ahead and then miss what God has for us today. So it'd be nice if it was long term. It'd be nice if it could feed the family and the extended family. So hope that answers your question.
It does. Yeah, that's great. And I really think that it's great that you are wanting to, use whatever time that you have and let the Lord kind of lead the whole direction of where you're going with it, what you're doing with it, and just take each day and make the most of it with your kids and, whatever comes from that as the Lord leads. That's a great perspective. You know, a lot of people go into business and they, have, and you probably have some of these too, but, they've got, 5, 10-year, 20-year goals and, all these kinds of things. And sometimes it's good just to take each day and make the most of each day and let the Lord bless it as he sees. That's fantastic. Well,
yes, sir.
Doug, how can people find out more? I'm going to put in the show notes, of course, a link to your website and stuff like that. But you want to go ahead and tell people how they can find out more about your business and about you, if you've got a Facebook page or, that kind of thing?
Well, we have a website that is called pruittandsons.wordpress.com. And Pruitt is spelled P-R-U-I-E-T-T. So it's pruittandsons.wordpress.com. And our Facebook page is called Goochland Fine Furniture or Goochland Fine Farm Furniture. I think if you do a search on either one of those, you're going to find it. So.
Okay. Great. And are there pictures up where people can see some of the fine work you've done?
Yes, on the web page and on the Facebook page, we've got pictures of most of the jobs completed and work in progress and pictures of the family, pictures of the workshop, and it's just a great thing. And one thing I'd like to encourage is this wasn't a major outlay of money to get started. Most men already have a bunch of tools laying around in their garage, saws and so forth. And so I had most of the equipment, really didn't have to buy anything. And so it was very minimal cost to get started for us.
Yeah, so again, that's taking inventory of what you have and what skills you have and what desires you have and going with it from there. That's great. So I've got listeners to this podcast all over the world. I guess you're probably not able to ship all over if somebody orders something from Germany or Australia or something like that. Or are you just trying to be, local where they can, transport it by a trailer or something? Or how, if someone wants to order from you long distance, are you set up to be able to do that?
Well, we have not sent any orders long distance, but we could send a table long distance. We'd take the legs off, we'd put it into a carton, we'd pad it, put the legs in, pad those, and it would be expensive to ship, and I'm sure it would run $100 or so to ship it, but we could do it.
Okay, very good. Well, Doug, I really appreciate your time, and I know you're a busy man, and taking your time out to speak to the audience is great. I really appreciate it. And I'm glad to see you doing what you're doing there. Well, in both capacities, serving as a the operations director there at the Good News Jelland Prison Ministry, but also working with your kids in your furniture business. And again, I want to thank you for being with us.
Oh, well, I'm happy to do it, Steve. And God bless you and your ministry and your podcast.
Okay, take care. Bye bye.
Bye.
And with that, this has been Steve Donahue with the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. What will you do today to build your legacy?
just one life.